The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. Busy Saturday coming up as well, with good racing from Ascot, Haydock, Lingfield. There's jumps racing from Hexham, a good car from Nottingham as well. Plenty to look forward to in the afternoon, and two turf meetings in the evening with Thirsk and Warwick. So seven meetings to look forward to this Saturday. Plenty of good racing, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much, Mark.
Good. A good Saturday coming up this week.
It's just absolutely masses of racing, Mark. Literally, I've only sort of focused on the Haydock card so far as we were doing this pod, but I just, yeah, it's an unbelievable amount of racing.
Yeah, good stuff coming up. We're going to focus on Haydock, as Catherine just said. There's a mixed card there with the Swinton Hurdle on their card. There's also good racing at Ascot with the Victoria Cup, the big Heritage Handicap on their card, and the Buckhound Stakes as well. A Derby trial and an Oaks trial at Lingfield. The listed race at Nottingham. Plenty to go out this weekend. We'll move on to that pretty shortly, but before we get there, let's just have a little bit of a reflection on the Chester May meeting, because that's just gone by as well. And I suppose reflecting on Thursday's action, we must talk about Orchestra. Got the job done in a photo finish in the end, and remarkably Aidan O'Brien's first classic trial winner this season. Just shows the slow start that he's had compared to what he normally does. But do you see Orchestra figuring in the Derby shake-up now?
Yeah, I think obviously on that performance, you have to put him in. I know he was still a bit green, but one thing I was sort of impressed with was that, I know he's nearly caught, but he did fight all the way to the line, and he looked fairly straightforward. You would, like you said, I know Aidan's had a relatively slow start to the season. You would expect him to come on from that. Personally, of the O'Brien runners, it's highly unoriginal, but after sort of Australia's run in the Derby, in the Guineas, he's a pretty short price now for the Derby, but he is still at this point my main selection. Obviously, we've got a few more Derby trials to come. Actually going to Leopardstown on Sunday to see the Derby trial there, and then we've got Dante meeting next week, so more clues along the way. But looking forward to the Derby, one of my favourite races of the flat season.
Yeah. It's not too far away, and like I say, a few more clues coming up with York next week as well. Australia 6-4 at the top of the betting for the Derby at the moment, and Orchestra 20-1. So it'll be interesting to see how the market shapes up in the coming weeks. Anything else stand out to you at Chester this week?
No, I found Chester quite hard this week, Mark. I think I'm probably going to find it even harder today. I think that obviously the rain's lashed down really. Nothing really has grabbed my attention at Chester this week, I must say. Probably the standout of all would be Orchestra, just with, looking at him with the Derby Impossible Contest in mind. But said, he's not my main focus for the Derby. But I was taken with his attitude.
Okay, well, let's leave that there then, and let's focus on Saturday's racing. Like I say, a good day coming up, and Catherine's picked out three races at Haydock for us. She's going to look at the long distance handicap hurdle, the Swinton Hurdle, and the Spring Trophy Stakes, which is a listed race on the flat. So we'll get Catherine's thoughts in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
All right then, starting in the 150, this is the Potence Network Long Distance Handicap Hurdle. It's a Class 2 event over 3 miles. We've got a good field here as well, 14 of them in the lineup. You could probably give several of these a decent talking up ahead of the race. And, it's probably going to be something like 5-1, 11-2, the field. Quite an open contest. Catherine, which ones have made the shortlist for you?
It's quite a few on my shortlist, actually. If we start with the top one, Lanique, you can't rule her out of anything. She's such a tough mare. She's consistent, and obviously she runs off top weight here, over 3 miles for the first time. But she won off top weight at Sandown last day of the season, and she's rock solid. So whenever you're looking at a race of this nature, you can't really rule her out. I think it's obviously there's an old friend of mine in here that I've talked about on previous pods, Trackmate. He won the Potence Qualifier at the Cheltenham meeting, and really everything kind of went wrong for him from there. That was actually a really brave performance. He struck into himself during the race and so essentially came up the hill at Cheltenham on three legs. He was all ready to go to the festival when he actually knocked a suspensory. That ruled him out of the attempts final at Cheltenham, also ruled him out of Aintree. I have to feel sorry for the yard. They've just got him right back to where they want him now, heading to Haydock for this race. Trackmate will prefer good ground, sort of real, you know, top of the ground stuff. And as I understand, the latest update from Haydock is that it's soft. So I do feel sort of very, very sorry for him. If it wasn't for that, Trackmate would be my selection for the race. But just on account of the ground, I'm a little bit worried about that. Obviously, I have quite a few deep when I'm in England to do a bit of work for the James Evans yard, and obviously James has got a soft song in there as well. Again, I think he would prefer better ground. He was balloted out of the festival. You know, ran at Cheltenham in April and sort of ran no sort of race, quite a lifeless race really. But I think you can put a line for that because he was found to be suffering from a touch of colic after the race. Indeed, he was quite worked up beforehand, which isn't necessarily a bad sign with him, but you know, he was obviously feeling something. Right back to full health now. And he's favourably rated, obviously, against his rivals and against his stable mate. And you know, he kind of lost his way a bit when he was with Hobbs, but you know, James took his time with him, brought him back, and slammed his opposition by 10 lengths, Doncaster. Decent enough ground in January, but just, again, a little bit worried about the ground. The horse I have been looking at, just in terms of the fact that the ground has changed so much, is actually Nicky Henderson's Big Hands Harry. He won a 2-mile 5 contest at Newbury in heavy ground, absolutely going away. Obviously this is on the 3 miles and I think conditions are going to be quite testing. So for that alone, I think that he is going to be my tentative selection for the race if there happened to be a minor miracle and Haydock got a sort of a very nice sunny afternoon this afternoon and the rain did stay away, then I would still be figuring Trackmate into the occasion. But I think, all things considered, I think Haydock are also due a little bit more rain as well. So just for that, I think Big Hands Harry, the fact that he looked progressive enough, comes here and he will enjoy getting his toe in.
Yeah. I think it would be a bit of a small miracle if the ground was anything other than soft at Haydock on Saturday.
I was working on an act of God.
Big Hands Harry, then, the tentative selection. He seems to like the softer going anyway, and he's only had 3 starts, so he's unexposed. He could be better than what he is now. So that's the selection in the 150. The 330 is the next race we're going to look at. It's the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle. It was the Swinton Hurdle. It's a Grade 3 contest over 2 miles, and we've got several good contenders in here as well. It's probably going to be a similar kind of story, 5-1, 6-1 the field, that kind of thing, wide open as you'd expect. But I suppose a lot of people will be quite drawn to Dubawi Island, who arrives here unbeaten over hurdles after winning out Bangor, Plumpton and Chepstow, and ran away with it at Chepstow last time as well. So do you think Dubawi Island is the one to side with here, or are you taking something else?
Again, when he won at Bangor, it was soft. When he won at Plumpton, it was heavy. I think, he was mightily impressive in the Chepstow race. You know, when you're looking at horses that have skipped all the big sort of spring festivals and you know, they're coming here, obviously with this in mind, the fact that the ground is going to be so much in that horse's favour, you have to put him in as a shortlist selection. I can understand why. I mean, Valbrata Voltaire obviously won the extra race in heavy conditions. I was really quite interested, obviously, before the rain came, in Don Cantlin's mare, as I am. I think she's as game as anything. She is fairly versatile on ground. I don't know if she'd like it absolutely bottomless, but yeah, I saw her win at the April meeting at Cheltenham, and she's got some heart. And you know, obviously has to go left-handed because she's only got one eye. I'd absolutely love to see her in this. I think Coffee is quite an interesting runner. Obviously went nipped across to Fairy House for the Easter meeting. Has got fairly ordinary form really, but when you're looking at a horse in a handicap in those colours, you have to give him a second glance. In regards of both the Bari Island and Valbrata Voltaire, that, you know, they're both 5-year-olds look at the record of five-year-olds in this race, pretty good. You've got into Sky Falcon, Max Joy, Coat of Honour, Cambo, Lesling Taylor, they all went in as five-year-olds. And the one that could be slightly interesting, I mean, if Donald Kane's in pretty good form. If he's brought Parisian back, I mean, obviously Parisian beat Mr. Mole in this last year, and he's been with Donald McCain as of February of this year. He's got the blinkers and the tongue strap on as normal. AP taking over. AP's won on him before when he was with Evan Williams. But you just, hey, I don't think, he's won on heavy. Won heavy in Taunton February last year. I think he hasn't shown much since he's been in the care of Donald McCain. But I wouldn't rule out a sort of massive return to form, and the fact that, you know, we know he acts on haydock and he acts on heavy ground. I think also a horse to probably keep on side is Jim Gold, his tightest bolt, purely in regards of the ground, winner at Ayr in heavy ground, went in Perth in soft conditions. I think it's going to be quite hard at this stage to sort of put anything up as a definite select until you sort of really see what the conditions are going to be in the morning. So I think, again, tentatively, I'd go with Jim Goldie's horse, Titus Bolt, at each way. I think he'll be quite a nice price each way. Obviously, he's only carrying 10-2. Dale Irving's taking £7 off of that. And if she handles the ground as I am, she's so tough, and she's got the biggest heart in the world, and I would, if the ground isn't too bad, I'd be putting her up as well.
So which is your selection, As I Am or Titus Bolt?
Titus Bolt's my main selection.
Okay.
If she's going to go through that going, then As I Am. I just think in regards of, we don't really know what the ground's going to go at this stage, I'm just going to be cheeky and throw in two selections there.
Okay, I suppose we'll let you have two selections in this one, but Titus Bolt definitely will handle the going.
Yeah.
Maybe As I Am will as well. So two against the field in the Swinton Hurdle, and we're on to the flat for the third and final race of this podcast. The 405 at Haydock is the Potemps Network Spring Trophy Stakes, which is a listed race over 7 furlongs. And I suppose Lockwood will be quite popular in the betting here. He's a proven performer in Group 3 and ran well in Group 2 level in the past as well. And down to listed company on reappearance, do you see him as the one to beat?
Yeah, I do, actually, Mark. He was, when I was looking at this race yesterday, he was actually my selection. Obviously, he's making his seasonal debut. He was actually in Maiden last year, so didn't reappear here till June. I am a little worried by the ground. Obviously, he didn't go to Maiden this year. I don't think he's going to lack for fitness at all. Obviously, yard in form. Again, I know I keep talking about it, but the going. Highland Calori, obviously, he's pretty consistent. He's very progressive last season. Won the Ayr Gold Cup from a mark of 94 up to 111. He's got a reasonable record fresh. And again, I don't think fitness is going to be an issue with him. I think over the 7 furlongs, you're not going to see, and in such a small field, you're not going to see a significant draw advantage. I think Custom Cut's quite interesting. Obviously, David O'Mara paid 95,000 guineas for him. His two efforts for the yard have been pretty encouraging, and he does act on the heavy going. I think he's probably talking about the shape of the race. He's going to have a pretty sort of decent pace. Both Custom Cut and Gloria Waits like to lead, and Highland Calori would imagine you just sort of sit in behind them handy enough. I think the thing with Gloria Waits is everyone kind of judges him on that second to dawn approach in last year's guineas, which hasn't really shown a massive amount since then. Again, if the going was as we thought it would be, I would have absolutely no hesitation in putting up Lockwood as my main selection, but just purely for the fact that we are going to see maybe quite unseasonable ground for these flat performances, I'd actually take a risk on Custom Cut, just purely for we know he'll go through it.
Yeah, that is a problem, isn't it? Because Lockwood, yeah, on form, you'd say he should win, but
absolutely,
it's just whether,
yeah,
he handles a going or not.
I mean, he sets the standard, obviously, you know, he's the highest rated horse in the field, but just for the fact that it does look as though it's going to turn into a bit of a mud bath. I mean, Chester was certainly looking like that at the end of Thursday's action. I think the northwest is sort of getting more rain. So it's going to be very, very hard to call. I think you might even see some odd results there tomorrow.
Okay then. Right, let's just have a quick summary then, Catherine, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your picks for Saturday one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, everyone listening to this will wonder how many times I've actually said ground in the whole podcast. I'm in the 150, purely on the fact that we are going to be expecting such conditions. It would be big hands Herit. If there was a minor miracle overnight and the ground was in any way on the good side, then I would still be talking up Trackmate, because I know that he is very well in the Swinton hurdle, taking a little bit of a risk, but Titus Bolt, purely because he will handle the conditions and he's carrying absolutely nothing on his back. That in mind, I'm going to also have a selection with the mare, as I am, just purely because she's so tough and consistent and will give her all. And in the Spring Trophy, the listed race, I'll take a chance with Custom Cup, purely because he's going to like to get his hooves in.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Catherine. Enjoy Saturday's racing and good luck with those selections.
Thanks very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Saturday's racing from Haydock. You'll hear that and the rest of Saturday's action on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. We have Swinton Hurdle Day at Haydock. There's also a good day of racing at Ascot with the Victoria Cup and the Buckhound Stakes on their card. We have the Derby Trial and the Oaks Trial on the card at Lingfield, as well as the Group 3 Chartwell Filly Stakes. There's good racing from Nottingham as well with the listed Kilvington Filly Stakes, their feature race. There's National Hunt Racing from Hexham as well, and two evening meetings, one from Thirsk and one from Warwick. So plenty of racing to look forward to this Saturday. Do tune in to Racing Radio for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.